Good afternoon, everyone. So a lot of times people ask me, Father, you've been here at Our Lady of Wisdom now for about 4.5 years. What is the thing that you love the most about wisdom? What is the thing that makes you the happiest? And there's a long list of answers that I've given different ones at different times. But Friday, it sort of hit me what I would say is my ultimate answer. And it was during one of the weddings that we had here of two students who were very involved in the ministry at Our Lady of Wisdom and graduated. And I looked out in the crowd, seeing them, and seeing about 6 or 7 couples who over the years were involved at Wisdom and went on to get married and now have families and children. And I realized that the thing that I enjoy the most, my favorite thing, is witnessing the weddings of these students who've been involved and then get married, who often meet at Wisdom, whose relationship with Christ and each other develops here, and then goes on to get married. It was such a time of happiness, a time of joy, and getting to go to the reception afterwards, and so many people were celebrating and rejoicing in this wonderful couple's marriage. And so I'm thinking of this, and I think there is a definite connection to what we're talking about in today's gospel, what we're celebrating today as a church. As I said, we're celebrating Gaudete Sunday. We are called as a church to rejoice that Advent is almost over and that Christ is going to be born soon. And so that rejoicing at the wedding leads into, it makes me think of the rejoicing we as Christians are called to do because Christ is almost here. And so we see in all of the readings today, most all the readings, some type of rejoicing. And we see in the first reading, the prophet Isaiah says, "I rejoice heartily in the Lord, for God is the joy of my soul." The responsorial psalm is from the New Testament. It's Our Lady's Magnificat, where her soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. It's a song, a canticle of great happiness and joy. And what does St. Paul say? He says to rejoice always. And in the Gospel, of course, John the Baptist, who rejoiced even when he was in his mother's womb, whenever he encountered Mary and Jesus, who was in his mother's womb. And so we see rejoicing. But there's another line that I really want to focus on, and it's from the first reading. It sort of gives us a little different understanding of the type of rejoicing that we might be called to have. Notice, our prophet Isaiah talks about that he rejoices in the Lord, but he goes on to say, because God has wrapped him in this mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked with her jewels. Isaiah uses the spousal imagery, the rejoicing at a wedding, just like the experience that I had and have every time that I celebrate a wedding for young people that I know. That rejoicing, that joy that we feel. So this spousal imagery, sort of connected to salvation, is what we want to focus on today, because it runs all through Scripture. The idea of man and woman and their love for each other and the idea of marriage is used so often to describe God's relationship with us as humans. And it's something, though, we specifically can look at and understand in relationship to Advent and the birth of Jesus. So we're going to look at that in a handful of ways. The first is the figure of John the Baptist. We saw him last week and we're seeing him again. He's always very prominent, pointing the way during Advent to the coming of Jesus. And although we don't hear it in today's gospel, there's elsewhere where John refers to himself as the friend of the bridegroom. There's that spousal language again. He's sort of like the best man who's called to prepare the bride for the wedding. He also talks about how he hears elsewhere, this is John chapter 3, verse 29, he hears the voice of the bridegroom. And what John is doing there is referencing a prophet, a prophecy from the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah is talking about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior. And he's describing hearing the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom. And so, very subtly, John the Baptist is saying that Christ, the bridegroom, is coming to marry his bride. The second point, and it's something I've preached about before, and I'll give sort of a succinct explanation of it, is at the end of the gospel where John talks about how he is unworthy to untie Jesus' sandals. We normally think, well, John's basically saying that he's very, very humble and Christ is great. And while that's true, some of the church fathers saw it in a different way, of referencing a liturgical rite in the Old Testament, where if there was a man who did not want to marry a specific woman, and this is in a very specific situation I won't get into, that he would repudiate her through this rite where he would remove a sandal from his foot, sometimes even having someone else remove the sandal from his foot. And what that gesture meant was that he was not going to marry this woman. He was not going to take her as a bride. So understood in sort of the frame of this Jewish understanding, what John seems to be saying is that Jesus is the bridegroom who's not going to remove his sandal because he's not going to turn his bride away. He's not going to repudiate her. He has come in order to give himself to her and to marry her. Very subtle, but there is spousal imagery there. A rejoicing that Christ is not going to give up on his bride, the church. And then third and finally, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we understand it's within the frame of what we call the incarnation. Incarnation, that God took on flesh, that the Son of God became man in order to save and redeem us. And so even in the incarnation, and the birth of Christ has been described in spousal terms. Now I'll give you a quote from St. Augustine, whom we all know, very beautiful, talking about the incarnation in spousal terms. He says, "The nuptial union is between the Word and the flesh." So he's describing that union of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Word, and humanity, the flesh and the body of Jesus. He's describing that union as a marital union, as that joining together in love. But then he says, the bridal chamber of the union is the virgin's womb. So where does that union take place? It takes place in Our Lady's womb, which is seen as that bridal chamber. And so if you keep the spousal imagery, what is Christmas? Christmas is when the bridegroom comes forth, when he reveals himself to his church. Of course, all very, very symbolic, but gives us a deeper understanding of the nature of what we celebrate and the cause for rejoicing. The rejoicing we have is the same type of rejoicing that we should have at a wedding or a marital ceremony. So all of this can be summed up in this very sort of brief reflection. A few points for us to take away as we continue our Advent journey. First of all, it gives us a deeper understanding of the mystery, this idea of the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, that we can see it within the frame of marriage. We understand what marriage is, and it helps us to penetrate more deeply into this mystery by using something that we all know and can understand. It also shows us how important marriage is, and the role and the gift of being man and woman, and how it's integral to describing Revelation, integral for our understanding of salvation. And in a society that seems not to really understand what marriage is, we've got to realize how important it is for us to maintain its integrity. And then third and finally, it gives us a great cause to rejoice. And just as we think of the weddings that we've been to and what happy occasions they have been, we are called to rejoice just as we would for a wedding. And so look at ourselves. Are we excited about Christmas? Are we overjoyed that the Savior is coming and God has wed himself to man? Let's take some time to meditate upon that and to really let it sink into our minds and hearts so that when Christmas Day comes, we can not allow stress to take over and anxiety, to allow our hearts to be filled with the true rejoicing. Amen.